We are facing another pandemic. And I'm not talking about COVID. I'm talking about a communication crisis across the board. And the reason why we're bringing this up to you now is that your awareness of your level of communication will dictate your success building your real estate portfolio. So let's break down the three next steps you can do to elevate your communication.
Welcome to the Investor Podcast. I'm Liz Fairclough.
And I am your co-host, Andressa Gadelli. So Liz, let's get started here. It all starts with being aware, right? Being aware, knowing thyself. So I don't go around thinking, am I under-communicating? Am I over-communicating here? I kind of like depending on the situation. So for the ladies that are listening, how do they know? Where do they stand when it comes down to communication?
Yeah. And let's just say knowing thyself is actually one of the tools to become a better communicator. Because if you don't know yourself and know what type of communicator you are, you're not going to be able to adapt. You're not going to be really able to adapt in the different situations that you are facing so that you can be more effective. So knowing thyself, I always like to say there's two ways to know thyself. And it's one's internal, one's external. The internal is doing and this personality assessment, if you have not done that. And very simply put, before getting into all the specifics, are you more of a direct communicator, like telling it like it is? You have no problem with conflict. You hit things like right on, you know, puts the hammer on the nail, so to speak, and you get to the point. Or are you more of a non-direct communicator, non-confrontational, may not be communicating what needs to be said, more into the accommodation in the piece of a group or a piece of a situation. Usually there's two types of people and there's varying degrees, but it's helpful to know where you are and then, right, be able to adapt to the situation. Certain situations, Andressa, direct communication. Well, you might argue that direct communication is needed in every situation. But yes, and depending on who you're speaking to and how you're speaking to them, some of that might need to be finessed. But I think the key is knowing thyself. The other way to know yourself, besides just obviously keeping an eye on yourself and doing personality assessments, is ask people that know you well. If you had to describe me in terms of communication, what would you say? Very odd question. I don't know if I would just go up to people randomly, but certainly like as you're chatting with people, it's really interesting to ask people what they see, how they interact with you. That type of feedback is really powerful. As a leader, as someone who's growing their portfolio on their own terms, you need to ask people.
So Liz, what you're saying is that I can know myself, but I also need my team to know themselves. Because you and I, for example, we have this conversation internally of who will be the best person to have this conversation, who will be the best person to be leading it. Because as you were saying, we need to adapt, meaning what is the other person that I am talking to? What is that their style? What do they need? Do they need more direct communication? Let's say a contractor that we're managing a project, a budget is very specific, right? Versus somebody that we are building a relationship with that it's more conversational, more strategic conversation, that type of deal. So we know that. We had a wild situation another day. You and I traveled to Cape May, and we were working on the business and thinking about our growth and everything else. And we were at this restaurant and we were having a conversation, and in the middle of the conversation, the waiter came and she started giving her opinion about the subject that we were talking about. And I looked in my head, I'm like, she's about to pull a chair, sit down, have a conversation with us. And I was so puzzled how people are not reading the room. Because if she look at my face, she will see for sure that I'm like, this is wild that you're just jumping into the conversation here. But she didn't. She didn't. No. She didn't.
No, she went going. Through.
She kept going. And I'm like,
I was trying to listen to her, and you were like, looking away.
I am like, I'm not going to make eye contact. I'm not going to shake my head. I am not going to ask further questions to understand what is her reality or whatever it is. But in my head, I was like, she has no awareness. And I don't think that's uncommon of reading the room. We were in a different conversation with a business conversation. And as I am talking to people, I'm also reading their body language and seeing what's going on.
And adapting.
And adapting it, right? Do I need mm-hmm. to be more direct? And do I need to back out of the situation? Do I need to be more personal? Do I need to be more specific? And I think that in the past, I was very like straight to the point, right? No small talk, no like none of that. And I've learned throughout the years with you, Liz, not that it's a small talk, but what is the ground that we can create here that creates proximity, right? So that is like strategic. I'm not asking like, how's your day so far? Is the weather? Like that cannot stomach, Liz. Sorry. But other things I can. But I think that when it comes down to knowing thyself, it's important to know the team as well.
Absolutely.
And who you're surrounded with.
Yeah. And I would say out of all the women we've served on Jessa, I've seen, and not to generalize or pigeonhole, but I've seen so many women become less direct when it comes to tougher topics and tougher conversations. And as you're growing your portfolio, you're growing yourself, you're growing your business, I don't know how you do that without having those conversations in a very authentic, clear way. I think that's one of the most underutilized tools that people even realize as ways to grow themselves and their businesses and their portfolios is literally having difficult conversations that need to be had. It's a skill. So, you know, even if you're a direct person or less direct, it's still something within that knowing thyself, having those conversations that need to be had. It's probably one of the most powerful skills you can develop.
Yes, but that's what a lot of women are saying when they hear you, Liz. They're like, I hear you, Liz, but don't force me to have a difficult conversation with somebody because I cannot bear that. Or I feel very uncomfortable. I don't want to spend my energy into it. So here's what, Liz, and I encourage you, because this is we have been practicing it. You're going to have a realignment call. At the end of the day, you're out of alignment. So you're going to have a realignment call with that person saying, this is the part that is not working. Let's clear that up and create a path moving forward, either continuing it, not as is, because that's not working, right? So you're going to create a possibility of a different way of doing business together or being in a relationship together or whatever that situation might be, or go in a different way. The bottom line is that there's a lack of alignment. So if you don't want to label it a difficult conversation for yourself, for your mental health, you have to have that alignment call because it's renting free inside your own head. You are just avoiding to have it, but it's consuming energy internally. All right. So let's go to the second piece here that we encourage all of you to take. If you want to make communication mistakes, do the following. Send a long email with everything that you're asking them to do. Long paragraphs. Ask them to do take a lot of actions in it. And don't recap anything. Just put everything in a different priority order. That is the recipe for a disaster in communication. And guess how I know that? Because I've done this in the past, right? I've done this over and over again. And here are three things that I highly encourage you to consider when sending an email. Be super clear on the first paragraph. Be super clear about what is the intention of the email and what is the goal that you're looking to achieve. So super clear, short. Nobody reads paragraphs. So be super clear and concise. Number two, bullet points. Step one, step two, step three. Emphasize in order of priority what you would like to discuss What are the points of the agenda? Or what are the most important things that you want them to know about? Simple. Not paragraphs. People don't read. Bullet points. Emphasize. Number three is, if you want people to do nothing, give them more than three things to do. They're not going to do anything. So be very specific about what you're asking them to do. Are you asking them to review something, to approve something, to send you something? Be very specific about it. And don't go beyond three asks. If you go beyond three asks, people get very confused. So the focus is, what are the next three steps? Focus on getting that done. And then once that's completed, you give the other action items. And that comes to internal team, external team, anybody that you're doing business with that you are managing. Focus on the next three steps. Liz and I are hammering on this. Focus on the next three steps versus here's the entire plan. People get overwhelmed with it and they do nothing about it. So if somebody in your team is confused, making a ton of mistakes with small actions, are delaying getting things done, I guarantee is a communication issue happening. So be very specific on the next three steps that I need you to do. Those are the ones and focus. I think we underestimate that. And sometimes we feel that communicating everything and giving them access to everything, that is helping. And that's actually hurting.
Absolutely. And if you, again, do the number one job of knowing thyself, you'll know if you're more of a concise person or not. And I have to highly recommend to everyone listening who likes to use more words than you may need to, which I certainly can do at times, is ChatGPT. It's such a helpful tool to write your thoughts out, write a draft and go, please make this concise, make this professional, be direct in this email. Those are the things that I usually request because those aren't usually not as easy for me to just come up with. So don't do it yourself, but ask chat to give you some support. And it really helps as you're putting written communication together. That's concise, to the point, and using less words.
All right. So let's just recap. Knowing thyself. Number two, being concise and clear with your communication. Number three is all about the tools that you use to communicate. One of the biggest mistakes that I've seen people making is to use tools to communicate, but not use the tools to the fullest or using the tools inappropriately.
Inappropriately.
For example, how many people send you a long text message? That is an awareness. I don't know how else to say. If you ever send me a long text, I'm not reading it. And I'm going to let you know I'm not going to read that.
You know what I've learned from years of speaking? The right stage doesn't just amplify your message. It builds your credibility. It positions you as a leader people remember. So what sets the top 1% of entrepreneurs apart? Authority. And nothing builds faster than stepping onto the TEDx stage with over 43 million YouTube subscribers. It is the biggest platform for ideas that spread like wildfire. Leader is making this possible. They're the number one company helping people land TEDx talks with over 650 talks booked for their clients. Want in? Head over to leader.co/events to book your free TEDx strategy session. That's leader.co/events. They'll help you refine your message, create a custom plan, and as a bonus, they'll even guarantee your first 50,000 views. Again, that's leader.co/events, leader.co/events.
So the way that we encourage our team to know, it's in levels of communication, right? If it is a yes or no, or like, what's the date? What's the time? Something very specific. That can be in text. That can be in Voxer, which I prefer, which is voice communication between teams, right? But as it starts getting higher and higher, if it is a project, then it goes inside our ClickUp, which is a project management tool that we utilize where you know the task, who is the assignee? What is the deadline? What are the steps that needs to be done in order to accomplish that goal? And then when there is a bottleneck, there is an issue or a problem that needs to happen, that is face-to-face. And that can be in Zoom or in person, depending on what where you are. But one thing about Zoom, people, and this might sound odd, but this is happening more often than what I wish. Turn your camera on. That'll be awesome. And you're like, what the hell, Angessa? What are you talking about? I have several, not one, not two, but several occasions where people come to a meeting, sometimes is one-on-one. And they feel that they can just don't turn their camera on. And that goes back to number one, knowing thyself.
They're all connected.
It goes back, right? But I asked Liz, I was like, is this a cultural thing? What the hell is happening? And what are your thoughts, Liz?
I think it's using the right tool for the right appropriateness of what you're trying to achieve. And I had another example of a group of friends that are randomly asking, like, how are you all doing? Like during the day, I'm like in between calls and recording podcasts, and I'm like looking down at my phone. How am I doing? Like, where do I begin? Should I record a video and post it in the text message? Like, my first thought is that's just super random to ask in a text message. And they're, you know, wishing each other happy St. Patrick's Day. But my point is, the key is, whether it's personal or professional, is what you're asking, what you're communicating appropriate for the channel that you're using, so that your message can get received. She may be really wanting to know how I'm doing, which is very nice and fair. I'm not going to just now, where do I begin?
What would work? What would you say for her? She is curious about how is everybody doing.
It's superficial. That's a whole other, I mean, I think people do ask how people are doing and are superficially on the surface. I'm not a surface person. And, you know, if I don't have a relationship with you and we're cultivating a back and forth ping pong relationship, you're dead to me. No, you're not dead to me. It's just the season of life, right? I only have so much time and energy that I can give a friend right now, to be honest. I don't have time for 10 friends that I could just, you know, go back and forth. So I think the key is also seasons of life. But if she really wanted to know how I was doing, like, she should text me separately. Hey, you've been on my mind. When do you have some time to connect? Let's schedule some time together, because I'm going to share with you what's coming up for me. I cannot do that on a text message. That's a phone call, not a text. Unless you want to just superficial, kids are great, I'm great. That's random. I don't play that. That's not, I don't have time for that in my life.
So Susie, if you're listening, this is why she's not answering you.
But it comes back to personal and professional. Yeah. We all want things and we are trying to achieve something. We're not using the right tools to get to that. And that's the work to be done as you're growing yourself.
I want to bring a point here in terms of the tools, that I believe that a lot of people use different tools for different things, but a lot of people are having full conversations over text message, which I believe is a coward move. You don't want to have that conversation. So you have bravery and courage to put everything down in writing. Vomit your brain in a text message. Do not filter. Do not think about it. Do not consider it. And send it. I don't have that in my life. But I've seen people having full conversations with contractors. And they send a screenshot to ask people, what do you guys think of this text message that I send them? This is what they answer. Or the tenant. Stop. First of all, any conversation with your tenant needs to be on the portal. And you need to think about, if I get to court, would I be able to utilize this communication to defend myself, to prove a point to myself? You can bring text message to it, okay? So everything is a track record by email inside a portal. One thing that I learned from you, Liz, and I can go back and forth on emails. And I think that when Liz says more than, I think, three back and forths, Liz, would you say three?
We had a rule of thumb.
Three back and forths, that yields a call. Because if we are not able to solve, to move the needle forward between three emails, that it is a call. And I'm like, oh gosh. And then other people want to have calls for everything, which I also don't think is valuable.
Completely.
Right? Or Zoom. Oh, let's get into a Zoom. Let's get into a Zoom. And then we're talking for half an hour. I always ask my team the following question. Do I need to be on this call? That's the number one. When I come to a call, is to solve a problem, to think strategically moving forward. I don't go to any calls to answer, where is this? Or I don't know what the date of that. All of those are questions that can be answered outside the call. So really think about the agenda. Every single time that you are meeting somebody over Zoom, having a conversation on the phone or in person, it's important for you to know the intention of that call. What are we looking to get out of it? Andressa, that is too boxy. I don't want to do that. Well, start a conversation of, hey, those are my intentions for this gathering. What, do you have any that you would like to talk about, right? It's important to do that because you are going to be very, very surprised, especially when you're having conversations with your contractors. They have a different agenda in their mind, right? Or people that you want to potentially do business with. We had situations in the past where we were just having a relationship call and that person already want to shake hands on a JV agreement. I'm like, whoa, what are you talking about? Right? So getting that clear at the beginning, it's super important. I usually do before the call, because then I know exactly what to expect. But I understand not everybody does that. But I also want to know, should I be in this call or should I not be in this call, depending on what's going on, so I can preserve my time. Otherwise, I'm going to be in calls all day. And I'm going to be dead at the end of the day.
Completely agree. So as we're encouraging people to know thyself and take these steps forward, the key is you will get requested, hey, do you have a few minutes to talk on the phone? I get that all the time. I get text messages during the weekend.
I don't.
From people. Of course you don't. They know who to come to. No, and I do. And so I have to stop and say, okay, it's not about being reactive. It's about being responsive, right? Reactive would just say, sure, let's talk. First off, I'm with my kids during the weekend. So I do work on my own. It's like thinking work and strategic work, or if it's my choice to work, totally cool. But if someone's requesting my time on a weekend, it's either Andressa or it's a really important reason to me. It's not just something we can deal with on Monday. So when people do request your time, the key is to ask them what their intention is. And that's what I did and moved forward. And I was very proud of myself versus just reacting and saying, oh, somebody needs me. I need to talk to them. No, this can wait. This wasn't urgent. And am I even the right person to be talking to this person about this matter, right? What's your lane? So that, Andressa, is really shifting from being reactive to being responsive as a communicator. Responsive means you're being proactive. You're thinking before acting. Reacting is literally no thought. Bluntness, just accommodating whatever the person wants. That's, to me, not strategic and not going to get you where you want to go, right?
And I think people can justify the prompt answers nowadays, right? People expect prompt answers. And this is a moment for us to take a moment and to also set expectations to people. I always say, I will get back to you within 48 hours unless it's an emergency. So I really just like when people make their priorities my priorities. That does not work for me. And I make it sure it's super clear that I don't want to be a bottleneck for them to do their work. That's why we have recurring strategic conversations so we can plan ahead. I am a single mother. I have a lot on my plate and I have no other choice but plan ahead. So I have freedom of time. I think the trap here is if I get a message, my immediate instinct is I don't want to be a bottleneck, so I'm going to answer super quickly, or now I need to do this because now I know that that's happening. So I think also it's important to have like a heart-to-heart conversation about that with people, setting the boundaries of say, please don't send me anything after 6 p.m. or 5 p.m., whatever your don't send me anything at 10 p.m. Don't send me anything at 5 a.m. Don't send me Voxers in the middle, unless it's something super important that you really want to get out there for a reason or express a thought of something that you can, that is not asking the other person to do something, right? Because then it's on me to like, now I need to sit with that, right? And then goes back to self, know thyself, right? If you know thyself, do not text Liz or I during the weekend. Thank you so much. And if you're receiving this podcast, it's because you have done that before and we're sending this to you right now. So we don't have to tell you that. No. So just to recap, people, let's elevate our communication and have peace of mind. So knowing thyself, have that self-awareness of you, your team, read the room about what's going on. When sending written communications, be very specific. Propose exactly what you're looking to achieve with that goal. Top priorities, no more than 3 call to action that you're asking the person to do. And then 3, utilize tools to communicate efficiently. You can start with short messages, and as the theme gets, the subject gets more complicated, that requires a face-to-face, and turn your camera on. That'd be awesome. I hope you take this and apply. Choose one thing that you can choose and take action. The worst thing that you can do is to say, oh my gosh, now I need to implement all of that, and you do nothing. Okay. So we gave you 3 steps. Pick one. Once you complete that one, then you go to the next one. Sounds like a deal. All right. Thanks so much for listening.
Thank you so much.
Bye. If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.